get started, we can call the meeting to order and speak.
I'm sure. That was good for you that day.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was green. Is this better?
Much better.
It's definitely green.
Okay.
Can everybody hear me okay? Thank you. So I was just saying that it's 3:30, and so I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. And as we normally do, let's start with a pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We'll start with a roll call for the record. I'm Ellen Schmidt. I represent the Ethics Commission, and I'm currently the chair of the Selection and Retention Committee. Mr. Hunt, will you go next?
Yes, Leah, with the Office of the State Attorney.
Ron Salem, President, Jackson City.
Ron Salem, President, Jackson City Council.
Karen Bowling, Mayor's Office.
C.C. Burke, General Counsel for the Fourth Circuit.
Charlie Cofer, Public Defender for the Fourth Circuit.
Dr. Chandler's the Chair for True Commission.
Thank you, everybody, and welcome to our new members. The first item on our agenda is approval of the May 31st, 2023 minutes, which you have in this folder labeled Inspector General Selection Retention Committee Welcome Packet. So if you can take them out, if you've had a chance to review them. Before I entertain a motion, I wanted to make one comment about them. It's on page 4, and it has to do with the discussion that we had during our last meeting, which is around Mr. LaSalle's evaluation. And so I just wanted to point out the committee did complete the evaluation, and most of us scored it during the meeting. And we sent it back with the OIG staff to finish up the scoring, but they returned all of those to me, and I reviewed them and double-checked the score before I signed it. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that the due diligence of verifying that was done before I signed off on it and returned it. And I wanted to make that clear. I don't think the minutes need to be changed. I just wanted to make sure if you read them and were wondering about that, that you knew what the process looked like to finalize the evaluation. You have a copy of the evaluation in your packet as well. So having said that, does anybody else have any feedback about the minutes or a motion?
No, I'll move with adoption of the minutes.
Thank you.
A second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as submitted, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next up is our new business. So let me draw your attention back to this packet that's in front of you and kind of reflect on something that happened at our last meeting. It came out of some thoughts I had when I was a new member of this committee, which was that I was a little bit lost about what my role was and what exactly to expect. And so we talked about the possibility of creating this packet, which we're considering like an orientation packet, so that when new members come in, they got something to help them understand what was happening. You may have gotten turnovers from the people who you were replacing, but I don't know that that happened, and I wanted you to have this, and everybody agreed that it would be a good idea, and so props to Kalia who put it together for us following our discussion. I'll draw your attention to what's in it, and then I have a sort of an assignment for people, if you will. So what's in it right now, you have your agenda for the day, you have the minutes, you have the ordinance that discusses the establishment of the Office of Inspector General, you have a copy of Matt's evaluation, and it's one of the major functions that we do is select and retain, that's the whole committee, select and retain the Inspector General, and part of that process is evaluating his performance. And so I wanted you to have early on a copy of the evaluation so you could understand what are the elements of performance that we're looking for in the Inspector General, so you'd be prepared. They provided us with the annual report, which I believe we're going to discuss later in the meeting. And then there's a list of all the team members in the office. and their contact information. And I've had the opportunity to meet in person with almost all of them, which was a fantastic opportunity, and that's something that you can choose to do if you want to. We're here to help support the work of the office, and so getting to know the people who are doing the work is important. There's also an org chart, and then there's a roster of who we all are, so you have that as well. And I think that's everything in the packet, and so I alluded to an assignment. And so for the new members, you don't have to do this today. It's kind of a process over time, is to evaluate, is this helpful to you? Is it not helpful to you? Is there something else that you kind of get onboarded that you wish was in this packet or we shared with you at the beginning? Because this is our tool, and we can update it and amend it as fits our needs. And then, of course, to the existing members who've been with us for some time, do you think we missed anything or did we hit it? Is there anything you wish that we would add? So just kind of think about that over time, and it can be updated as needed. So thank you for that. Anybody want to make any comments about that or have any questions about the packet? That's good. Thank you. I'm very excited to hear the next piece of business, which is an accreditation status update. Will you be doing that for us, Matt?
I can.
Okay, please do.
To the chair, to the rest of the committee, first and foremost, thank you very much for taking the time to be here today. I know this is a little bit of a time suck for you guys, so I appreciate you being here. And the biggest thing in terms of the accreditation piece, obviously, is, and I'll have Christina do the honors as my accreditation manager, show you.
Successfully
reaccredited. So during the first week of October, myself and Ms. Gatto went down to Sanibel Island, where they have the annual conference for the CFA, which is the Commission for Accreditation for the state. And the city of Jacksonville, along with 29 other agencies, were up for reaccreditation. So it was a very interesting process that we went through, probably 3 days worth of committee hearings and meetings. And ours was somewhat unique because we had, I'm sure you all had an opportunity to read the assessment report done during the accreditation process. And we had the unique, I don't want to say opportunity, but the unique situation in which the first 2 years of our accreditation were not very good because of things that have occurred in the past. But there was a clear dichotomy on the assessment, and I think this is proof in the pudding of the work that this office has done in the third year. And to be reaccredited with that type of a situation is kind of unique. So I'm very proud of the folks, and that's why I invited them all here to be here today, to thank them publicly and on the record. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So a phenomenal team doing phenomenal work, and really, like I said, the proof's in the pudding.
Thank you for that. That's such exciting news. I appreciate the update. I talked to Christina a few minutes ago, and I asked if you will, at the end of the meeting, I would love to have a picture of the certificate and the whole team.
Sure.
Before we go. I hear there's a picture of you two and the document on Twitter, what used to be Twitter, X.
X, yes.
Yes, thank you. Any comments or feedback from the committee? No, just a hearty congratulations to all of you for your hard work on achieving that. I'm very impressed. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the Inspector General Performance Evaluation. So as I told you earlier, we reviewed Matt's performance at the last meeting and we completed his evaluation, but we paused before we made a decision about a merit increase because we wanted to see the outcome of accreditation of the office. That was a significant part of the evaluation process, and that was an unknown at the time that we met back in May. And I'll draw your attention to part of the minutes. Sorry, I have to just find my spot. Okay, so this is on the last page of the minutes if you prefer to read it, but I'll read it out loud. Brian Hughes, who was at that time the chief administrative officer, proposed another patient with a strong and favorable result to the mathematical calculation. So what he was alluding to was that as we were scoring it, he hadn't finished scoring it, but it looked like it was turning out very largely favorable, but we were pending the accreditation results. The current committee, the people who were serving in May, encouraged the new members to strongly consider and favorably vote on compensation, since that was not discussed at the previous meeting. And then Judge Mahan seconded the motion and said he would pass that on to his successor, and just wanted to encourage people, a lot of people should see where the office was compared, where it is now compared to how it was. And so just telling you all that to set the stage for a discussion about the potential for a merit increase for Mr. based on his performance and the office's accreditation. Anybody remember anything different at the meeting or want to add anything?
I would not add anything.
Is there a range that we're considering for a merit increase?
I don't recall that we discussed a range. Do you recall if we discussed a range, Matt?
It's not discussed.
I don't recall discussing a range.
Well, I would say just personally, just based on my review of the annual report and the accreditation, I would certainly be in favor of a merit increase. I don't know if that's something we need to vote on and then discuss the range.
So that's a great question. I think that we would potentially consider a motion to authorize a merit increase and then have seconded in the discussion. And then we would ask if there's any public comment before we actually took a vote on that.
I'm trying to remember where in the past we have received recommendations from. I know from the mayor's office, and you're from a budget standpoint, you all have to keep a pretty tight rein on everything. But I can't remember if it's the general counsel's office or the personnel group that previously has given us recommendations.
Do you know, Christine?
I think Diane Moser usually participates in that discussion, the director of employee services.
I don't see her.
She was at the meeting last time as well.
Can somebody find her? I'm looking at some, well, you might be looking at the same person.
Yes, she's not here today, but I can get a representative from employee services over.
Well, that would be fantastic. Would it be okay with the team if we kind of pause the discussion while, what is your name?
Kelly O'Leary.
Kelly, thank you. While Kelly gathers a colleague for us, and then we can go. Is that okay?
Yeah,
move on and then come back so we can be efficient. Agenda. I buried it under all this paper.
Well, and I would be happy to make a motion at this point a motion to approve a merit increase, and then I'm not real sure that when she comes here, she's going to have the information that we would need to be able to recommend what that range might be.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm new to this, but if I were doing this, I'd want to know what his present salary is, what the range is at the position, what's the history of increases in the past, just to give me some feel for what we should be looking at.
Dr. Sam, I can tell you that my current salary is $225,000, and the maximum salary prior to the adjustment from this year was $246,000.
Do you know what the bottom of it is?
I do not.
Okay. So there's obviously some room there.
Yes, sir. The $246,000 is reflective of the previous year cap, so it doesn't reflect the increase. So I'm sure with the increase, it might be a little over $250,000 right now is the cap.
So you think the cap is above $246,000?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay.
Based on the 2.5% that occurred October 1.
May I continue?
Of course.
Have you received a raise since you've been here?
I have not.
How long have you been here?
I'm going to my second year.
Second year.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. March will be 2 years.
You haven't received a merit increase, but was there some kind of citywide cost of living increase, or?
There was only, whatever the city got, city employees got, I got the same raises, sir.
Okay.
There was a condition in my initial employment where my initial starting salary was low, and then based on receiving state accreditation, then they gave me a bump based on the receipt of that accreditation. They gave me 2 years to do that. I did it in the first 3 months. Okay. So that brought me to my current salary.
Yeah, I would agree to hold this until we get the HR people down if we can.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Matt, would you provide us with the annual update?
I can.
Talk about that? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So through the chair to the committee, this committee meets twice a year. And during one of those meetings, we discuss the annual report, which is due in October. And I think all of you got a pre-read for the annual report. I think you will see, based on my report last year was somewhat aspirational in terms of where the office was and where the office was going. I based where it was going on some, I guess, high-end expectations that I set for myself and for my office. And I'm happy to report, and I think it's reflective in the report that you read, that we achieved a lot of those goals. You'll see dollar amounts that have never been achieved by this office in the past. You'll see federal prosecutions. You'll see state prosecutions that have never occurred from this office in the past. We're fully staffed, and I'm happy to report that I think, and I can probably catch something in the back of the head if I don't tell you accurately. Not only are we successful as an office, but we're very cohesive as an office. We have a very robust team that's very capable, and I think we're exploring and pursuing opportunities within the city that have never been pursued before. And with the folks that I have on boards, particularly with a couple of our new recent hires, the sky's the limit. We brought in some folks who have very deep analytical skills, so we're going to start looking at the big dollar items for the city and looking for opportunities to improve efficiencies. You'll see that from some of our reporting for this year, whether it was the housing projects or the ERAP program or the MRU program or infrastructure protection. These were large issues that really affect the city. I think the office in the past had I'm not going to disparage, and it's occurred in the past, but the quality of the investigations that occurred in the past, from my standards, was not there. They were hitting, it was kind of like waiting for the phone to ring and not being very aggressive. We've taken a very proactive approach. We've done that through the types of investigations we're pursuing, and we've done that through the outreach. So you look on the report for this year, our outreach is phenomenal. We're hitting all the independent agencies. We're hitting all of the, we have folks going to the CPAC committees. We're going to the Sheriff's Watch. We've gone to the schools. So we're trying to get our name out there in terms of what we do and why we do it. And I think that's impacted the quality of our investigations. I think having a full staff is a huge turnaround from a year ago. A year ago, we lost about 50% of our staff. So to have fully staffed folks now, we're all engaged. I have to shout out to the accreditation manager. I think the accreditation that occurred this year is in large part to her efforts. She took over a program that was supposed to be 2 years evolved, but we found out the hard way that it was not. So she accomplished in 1 year what the previous folks couldn't do in two. So very, very appreciative of her efforts, and the rest of the office all chipped in and did a phenomenal job. And that's reflective in the mock assessment that was done and then the formal assessment that was done. Both assessment teams noted that there was a clear dichotomy in years 1, 2, and 3, 3 being nearly flawless. So, like I said, I think what I've done successfully is I've identified what my expectations are, and I've given my folks the freedom and the tools to execute. And I think that's reflective of what you see in front of you.
Thank you. Does anybody want to ask any questions regarding the annual report?
Yeah, Matt, do you mind sharing the new policy for all employees that we're about to roll out?
Oh, absolutely. So about a year ago, myself and the Director of Investigations and a couple of the folks in the office came up with an idea. It had to do with kind of getting the word out for what the IG is and what they do. And we noticed that there's nothing reflective in policy that formally tells, like, an employee of the city when and what they should report. So we tried last year to put together a directive for the city to execute, where it's kind of all-encompassing of what we do, why we do it, and how to report fraud, waste, and abuse. And we ran into a couple of roadblocks. Some folks were not in favor of that. But I'm happy to report this year we've recrafted that, and we presented it to the administration, who's in favor of adding that to the employee directives. So it's an attestation for new employees. Basically, it's a one-pager that says who we are, what we do, and when you see something that's not right, who to call and when to call and how to call. So that's going to be into the new employee director, which I think is a huge step for us.
Thank you. Anybody else want to ask anything, make any comments? Big plans for next year?
Big plans for next year. We spent, I shouldn't say we spent, you spent, between the administration and the city council, they approved the authorization for the purchase of some analytics software. So we went to the prior administration, the CFO and the financial folks, and asked them what they were currently using to do large-scale data analytics. And we found that really, short of the city auditors, there really isn't much going on in terms of big data analytics. So we asked for a little bit of money. It's about $14,000 in total. And I reached out to my counterparts down in Palm Beach County, Dade County, and Broward County. And they use a software called IDEA. It's made by Caseworks. And it's a data analytics tool where you can take large, it will ingest large amounts of data, and you can do basic searches with it. So I give an example of folks who will listen is, for example, we take the death rolls from Duval County for the last 5 years. And we can run those death rolls against public housing assistance. We can run those against all aids received. We can run those against grants. We can run that against and find a list of folks who are fraudulently receiving money based on, you know, dead person's social security number. That type of software would have been hugely beneficial while we were doing our MRU and ERAP cases. And for those of you who are not familiar, MRU is Measurement and Utilities, and ERAP is Emergency Rental Assistance Program. And we found, this is COVID money that we got through the federal government, and we found during the course of several investigations that ripe with fraud. I mean, just no fault of the cities. I think they were trying to get the money out as soon as possible, as quickly as possible, so they didn't have enough internal controls in place to make sure that the money was going out. And these types, or this type of software would help us run those types of database searches. A couple of things we've come across recently, for example, folks in public housing who are convicted felons. You know, that's a, according to the policy, that's a no-no. We have no way of ingesting and analyzing huge amounts of data, so that's what we're going to do. One of my newest employees, I think a week on the job, Bryce, if you want to raise your hand, if you're back there. Bryce comes to us with a great deal of data analytics. He worked for DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he has within that, he brings with him that expertise of taking large amounts of data, crunching it down, and turning it into a one-pager that shows you, you know, some of the issues that we have. With a $7.7 billion budget between all the independent agencies and the city, you can imagine the opportunities for us are endless. We haven't even scratched the surface and looking at other. And again, I'm not saying that it's all a question of, we find in our business that there's a big difference between malfeasance and misfeasance. And misfeasance seems to be pretty prevalent. And through no fault of anyone in particular, it's just when you have someone externally looking at a product, looking at a document, looking at a policy, we can bring fresh perspective, we can bring a fresh set of eyes, and offer suggestions on how to improve effectiveness and efficiency in city government.
Thank you. I have a question. It is regarding the correspondence and complaints. I read through the disposition, and I just was curious about the ones, the 10 that say complaint handled and the 6 that say closed with no action. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
What's Can you tell me a little bit about those?
I know it's like Gatto. Bringing that question on you.
Ones that are handled can just be if we did put some work into it and then we provided information to the complainant that we don't have purview over it, so we let them know who they can reach out to. And then information only is something that, or close no action, I'm sorry, as if we just received something like spam or some like a complaint that we reviewed it with the complainant and then we found that there's nothing to continue further.
Can you give an example of each? Putting
you
on the spot.
You need a microphone here.
I know, I don't want
to. I don't know if this is being recorded
or not. Yes, sir, it is. Sorry, Christina.
So I guess a closed new action would be receiving like a thank you for letting them speak here for public comment, or the waterways. But we've received that email numerous times already. It's the same complaint, so we just close it with no action. I don't know how else to word it. And as for just something filed, like a complaint that was handled and filed, would be someone was complaining, had a complaint that had to do with the Tallahassee, like the main Florida Office of Inspector General, and we had to refer it to them, so we just provided the contact information to them. Or in some circumstances, if it's anonymous, we refer it directly to the state OIG and then just indicate it was handled. So work was put in, but it wasn't enough that it would have a disposition of a higher level. I hope that made sense.
Again, through the chair to the committee, we received calls on a different basis. I took two yesterday. One was a gentleman whose package was sent to the post office somewhere in Jacksonville, and he never got his package. So he calls the Inspector General's office looking for his package. And you know, those are the types of calls we get all the time. We get letters like that all the time. We get, you know, emails. We get a hotline complaint. Those types of issues that really require us to do something. In this case, I spoke to the gentleman for 15 minutes trying to find the right post office to send him to. But it doesn't require me to document other than contact with the public. And we record that because for public records purposes and for, you know, the Sunshine Laws, we have to keep records for everything that we do with the public.
Thank you. So that would land in the bucket of spam unrelated,
Correct. Perhaps? Correct.
Does anybody have any other questions about the different dispositions and what they mean?
I get the same type of calls.
630 City is your best friend.
I have that number saved in my phone, too. Jane Kelly, do you have anything for us?
Yes, through the chair. I'm Kelly O'Leary, Deputy CAO, to the committee. Just as a data point, city employees received a 2.5% merit increase on October 1st across the board. That was in line with some of our union contracts for general administrative. I've got Leah Hayes pulling some history in terms of the actions that this committee has made in the past, just to give you a range of percentages. So if you could just give us a few more minutes, she's pulling that data as we speak.
Thank you so much for doing that for us. I appreciate you. I'm sorry. Did you have something?
I was just going to say, in the meantime, while we're waiting, Matt, do you mind if your team introduces themselves and what they do?
It'd be my pleasure. Let's start with Mr. Samples and we'll go around the horn.
I'm Rick Samples. I'm the Director of Investigations.
I'm Katie Turner. I'm the newest investigator.
Robert Lenzner, investigator.
Doron Nenz, investigator.
Brandon King, investigator.
Harry Sigliano, contract compliance.
Bryce Sears, investigative support analyst.
Good afternoon, everyone. David Johnston, director of audit.
I'm Maria Pontellia, an auditor.
Kalia Watts, who's EA.
Christina Gatto, senior program coordinator and accreditation manager.
I will draw you to your attention to the fact that all the investigators are together.
Yes.
They like to hunt in packs.
thank you for doing that.
Did you have another update, Kelly?
I do, through the chair to the committee. I've got a historical on the last Inspector General, if that would be helpful. In October of 2018, that individual received a 4.5% general increase. On March of 2019, that person received a 6.8% special pay increase based on the employee contract when that person completed her certification. On October of 2019, that individual received a 4.5% general increase. In 2020, no increases were given. And on October 1st of 2021, the board meetings show a general increase in performance pay in the amount of 20.4%.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Did you determine the peak of the range?
You mean the top of the range? I did not ask for that.
And could you also check, when you look at those percentages, what their salary was at the time, where they started, where they ended?
And while Kelly is doing that, I'll say, possibly for the benefit of the new members, I talked about the possibility or the opportunity you might have to meet with the staff. I did that before Matt's last evaluation, and I had like some questions I had prepared in advance to ask them, which I shared with them, so they knew what was coming, no surprises, about what was going well under Matt's leadership. Was there anything they would improve or change? And then just general comments about the office. It was very helpful to me in this role, and so I just invite you all to consider doing something similar as time permits. Over the time that you're serving, you can learn a lot about the function of the office and the climate of the office by engaging with the team who are supporting the office. And the office is beautiful, so I just encourage you to learn as much as you can about the function of the office and to be an approachable resource for the office team. You may.
I'm just running through some calculations, if I could be so bold.
Yes.
A 5%, it sounds like you got a 2.5% that everyone else got recently.
October 1st, yes, sir.
So October 1st, so just in the last 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
A 5% increase, and that took you to 225.
That's correct.
Okay. A 5% increase of the at 225 would be 236, 250. I did a 7%, and that would take it to 247, 50. Both keeping him below the 246, which, and I'm assuming, Ms. Bowling, there's dollars in the budget to handle this.
Yes.
Okay. So those, just to give you a range of something we may take a look at.
Yes, sir.
It's quite impressive. Thank you.
He's got his phone in his hand. I thought that was all pencil and paper for a second.
And Callie, you told us what we've done in the past with the previous Inspector General. Does the city as a whole have a recommendation regarding merit increases that they normally do with people in positions comparable to Mr. LaSalle?
Through the chair to the committee, I remember back, I was the Director of Employee Services, actually was here when this office was stood up. Mm-hmm. So there has typically been a recommendation. I don't know if there was discussions during the last committee asking Employee Services to make a recommendation. We would be happy to, you know, do that on behalf of the committee if you wanted to go in that direction.
Thank you for that. I truly don't recall any percentage being mentioned during the meeting. Do you agree with that? Do you remember it differently?
To the chair, no. Ms. Moser simply identified my current salary and what the max was.
That's what I recall as well.
Well, that the 5 to 7 is in line with everything done in the past, other than that 20%, which I'm not sure what that was.
I don't think anybody.
That may have been when she achieved some certification.
That had been like previously agreed upon.
She did not have at that time, but was required to have a vague memory of that.
And we don't know what her salary was before that took it to either, I guess.
Yeah, through the chair. I do remember just, you know, being here and that her salary was much lower, you know, in because she was not certified. I think that was during the time that Cheryl Goodman was consulting in this office for her. And so I think that probably just brought her up to a range. They're pulling the data right now. The current pay grade is a 1915, and so the pay grade range is 157,853 to 257,720.
Thank you. You said they're also checking on what is a citywide.
The scenario would, I mean, you can take a look at, you know, what the union contracts have in terms of their range of increases, and then you can do an equity review to look at like positions. But you do have the discretion within that range. So I would say it would be the will of the committee.
Thank you.
helpful that we do this again next year. We are happy to take this on, like, in advance, to come back and maybe have somebody from Employee Services to present.
Let's turn to the committee and your thoughts about, do we have enough information to make a motion? Do you need more information? Thoughts?
I'm still interested in what the prior salary number was.
What Lisa's salary was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
okay,
to see.
I'm pulling it right now. Well, and I think that's helpful as a data point, but it may not be apples to apples depending on what the experience level results.
My question is that is it normal that the committee makes it? I think normal for them to request for an increase for IG? Is this normal as far as your
yes. Okay. My experience has been that as we conclude the evaluation process, we consider the possibility of a merit increase, and then we are authorized to make a recommendation. And as Ms. Bowling, Karen pointed out, the mayor's budget has wiggle room for us, and Brian Hughes made that distinction at the last meeting as well, that there was some wiggle room in the budget for a merit increase if we decided that that was appropriate when we came back together. So yes, that is definitely a possibility, and it is I was going to say responsibility of the office. It's part of the package of doing the retention work for the Inspector General.
Okay.
Now it's
one question.
Of course.
Mr. LaSalle, you mentioned you got a 2.5% in October of this year. You were hired when, and is that the only increase that you've had, whether it's cost of living or whatever?
Right, so I was hired in March of 2022, and since March of 2022, to my knowledge, I think I've only received 2.5% October 1. I don't know if there was one last year. There was COVID money that went out last year. I think I got that. And then there was also a salary increase based on my completion of the accreditation through SIGI, which is Inspector General's.
But the COVID money, as I recall, was strictly a dollar amount.
Yes, sir.
Did not
yes,
in effect
didn't affect
salary.
Salary. Correct. The only raise in salary I've received is the 2.5% the first of this year, other than the contract stipulation for my certification.
Which was how much?
$15,000.
And that was an increase in your salary?
That's correct.
Okay.
And Kelly, I think, has something to add.
Yeah, through the chair to the committee, the previous salary of the IG was $196,666.
When Lisa,
her last, that was her, the highest range that she had.
Thank you. Any other data points that you guys want to hear about?
I'll make a recommendation.
Okay, please do.
A 5% increase would bring him to 236, 250. That's probably about the 90 percentile of the 257, 720, which is the peak. Seems like the accreditation. And from what I'm hearing, the office, the way the office is being run presently versus what it was in the past, and I experienced that myself. So I would make a recommendation of 5%.
I would second that.
Thank you. Thank you. Discussion.
Makes sense to me.
So we have a motion to increase Matt's salary by 5%, and it's been seconded. There's been no discussion. As is our tradition, before we take a vote, we do invite public comment on this specific topic only. So is there any member of the public who wants to make a comment specifically related to the potential for a 5% increase for Mr. LaSalle? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you. I appreciate all of that very much. I think that concludes the major business on our agenda. I do have one announcement, and I haven't forgotten about the picture. I think, based on the cadence of the meetings, that this is going to be my very last meeting of the Selection and Retention Committee. I serve on this committee because I'm the chair of the Ethics Commission, and I am very close to terming out. December 31st will be my last day serving as chair of the Ethics Commission, and that means I will be leaving this body as well. So I wanted to thank everybody for allowing me to serve. It has been a tremendous learning experience. I believe that the next incoming chair of the Ethics Commission will be the chair of your committee, so I'll give her or him a good orientation, and I appreciate again the orientation packet that'll help set a good foundation for me to pass that on. And I wish you all tremendous success in your work as a committee, and same to the colleagues I have in the Inspector General's office. I know you'll be in good hands with our next chair. The chairship rotates every 2 years. True Commission comes next, but in another year. So you'll have 1 year of my successor, and then you're up. So I just wanted to thank everybody for this opportunity. I've enjoyed learning. I've learned a lot about city government. I've learned a lot about the Inspector General's office. So highs and lows. There have been highs and lows, but it's always been interesting. Anybody else have any announcements or any other business they want to bring before the committee?
No, I would like to say I want to thank you for stabilizing the office and getting it obviously a better place to work. And the results that y'all are doing, so keep it up.
Thanks for appreciating.
Very nice. Yes, ma'am. We have
a member of the public. When you have a chance, ma'am? I'd like to ask a general question.
So, I was just about to invite members of the public to make public comments, and you'll recall from the last time we met that you will have 3 minutes to make public comments on any topic that you wish to, but we generally don't entertain. You can ask questions, but we generally don't respond to public comments. Would you like to make a public comment, understanding those parameters?
Yes, it will be preceded by a question, because I want to know if the committee, the team working under the Inspector General, who I believe was just informed me about raised, I'm not sure. But I'm wondering if part of the job is to see that everything over all city operations are working smoothly, because I was just at the public library and checking out coj.net, and I found a whole list of PDFs that are that have vacancies on various committees. And I was trying to open and have a look, and it proved impossible. I taught for 37 years in higher education, but thank you. I can speak pretty loud, but anybody not hearing me. It seemed odd that the information wasn't available on the city site at the library, and I suspected that it was being made unavailable, perhaps, by hackers as to vacancies on committees, unavailable for public searches at the public library. And I'm wondering, it seems to be practice generally, there's always some librarian who takes a look at my card number and maybe passes it out, makes it publicly available, or to some team or other, I'm not sure. And because I always seem to have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 50 onlookers, I can see the number at the top of my screen. So I'm wondering, you know, whether that's true, and if it is true, is there a way to introduce at the public library, a way, as there is at the printer, to just flash your card without anybody seeing the number, and to use the computer that way, without putting in your number on the screen and maybe everybody being able to see it. Your card, your library card membership number. I'm hacked at home, so I'm very challenged at the moment. I've been deprived of pretty much all my constitutional rights in my neighborhood. I will be bringing up, I hope, to the Public Safety Neighborhood Committee area. Irina, what does one do when one is being constantly bombarded over the airwaves, for example, as I have been for the past 7 years? I have no privacy in my own home. I'm a single homeowner. I'm the sole homeowner, and this is what's been going on in my neighborhood, and my suspect are some former colleagues who are recently claiming over the airwaves, therefore not reliable information.
Thank you for your comments. Your 3 minutes are up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm wondering, to end that, what can be done to end hacking in every arena of the city?
Don't forget to share. Am I the picture of you?